say it's a slippery path, but at least give us an option other than simply waiting for the Congress.
I'm afraid, Mr. President, that if we leave it in there, or
it'll be a hell of a mess.
A hell of a mess.
And with another guy, they added a Christmas tree and all the rest.
You got a mess, and they're not here to help you.
They're here to give us the real hook. If I did this, I sold areas, you, et cetera. Now, the other thing is, of course, as you know, we've been waiting for you to, you think you've got your feet already going out on your meeting? You didn't want it this week, I understand.
We weren't quite ready. I want to talk to you about the decision.
Sure, but the formally textual, if you'd like to have a meeting next Monday, as I understand.
When you get back, yeah, the first day you get back.
All right.
On textos, could I say anyone? I think in addition to the approach, which is going to require, if you can see, Mr. President, probably defense and aid and, you know, whatever other leaders we got, I think it might be well to be thinking about who should negotiate that package and at what point we should bring them in. Let me say, first off, I'm not a candidate. I don't think I should do it. There's too many things to do. I'm not credible. The industry doesn't know me. They probably think of me as a, you know, free trader, et cetera.
Sure.
So let's eliminate me. The criteria, it seems to me, is that I'll be somebody that's trusted by the Asians or somebody they know. It should be somebody that's clearly your man, because I think the right answer here is for you to solve this problem and nobody else. And third, you got this problem in the State Department, as you know, where the industry wouldn't trust them, never, and so forth. Even though they've got a damn good man over there named Trezise,
but they never trust him.
But they would never be trusted. Just an idea for what it's worth. Talk with Harry then about this at some point. He says there's a man named Tony Zurich.
Oh, I know him well.
Who did the Okinawa thing. I have yet to meet him. I'm not quite sure, as I hear the description, he's got quite the stature and the scope. I wanted to talk to you about David Kennedy very briefly, because not only on this, but on shoes, it seems to me he might be able to play an important role for us. Now, the reading I get around about David, I assume we can speak off the record here, and I can tell you about whatever I don't know whether apparently he's trusted and he's liked and so forth.
That's right.
I don't quite get the impression that he's the toughest negotiator in the world. On the other hand, if we could take a David Kennedy and buttress him with a Missouri and maybe even a Trezise, maybe somebody else as a team, some senior member like that does have the virtue of saying, you, the president, consider this problem important enough that you've assigned a very top man to this. Now, I simply throw that at you as a possibility. I don't know that it's the right answer. I haven't been able to get Harry Dent this week.
Yeah, let me say this. Why don't you talk, Harry, about it? I think, first, I would like to give Dave something very substantive to do.
This is pretty substantive.
Yeah, that's right. And second, he has a great stature and so forth. He would need to be backstopped by a very good staff man. I'm sure I don't know well, but my impression is that he is somewhat limited. I mean, his main experience has been in the National Defense area prior to this time. And I don't know that he, frankly, would have
Well, just so you and I are together in what we're talking about here, I'm talking about a pretty tough package for these people. It may involve aid, it may involve military, I mean, it may involve whatever it takes to get them to sign this deal, and then you just impose it on the Japanese.
Yeah.
I've looked at six other options, frankly, most of them are funny. This national defense thing, Mr. President, I'm afraid your credibility would really be strained on that. How the hell do you argue that textbooks affect our national defense? This is the only one I've been...
Now, this one sounds good to me, Mark. Play it right down the hill on it. These guys are probably going to give the Japanese a little kick in the rump too, so... And we'll have to play it tough with the Japanese.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of things have to fall in place.
But also, another thing too is that once you move in this direction, the Japanese may come around
and say, we're serious.
One time they may, we always have hope springs eternal, isn't it?
Now, on the worker, if you have any other ideas, shouldn't defense be involved in this at some point in view of the Iranian? As part of the worker to plan the negotiation, shouldn't say, I'm thinking, Mr. President, about Korea, you got those divisions there, you got Taiwan, don't we need a little of that input into this?
Sure. It's always good to get a chance to always like to participate. They have some good power on there, too.
Okay, now...
You just use your judgment on things like that.
All right. On shoes, if I can briefly take the shoes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very sticky one. You do know, I guess, that footwear is a hell of an important part of Spain's export stuff. It's about 25% of its total.
Yeah.
The Italian ambassador is also interesting. It's a very important part of their total. We've said in the past we wouldn't do anything here to hurt them. Mm-hmm. So on one side, we've got our allies, and we've got the fact that the case is not a very good one. It's a split deal, and the injury is marginal and so forth.
But an awful lot of states are interested.
Yeah. On the political side, I've been up on the hill with Mills and Burns and so forth. The guys getting hurt are the little guys, not the big guys. The big guys are in bed once they can be about this, but they're doing pretty well in the profits, and they're importing a lot of shoes anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's the little guys spread throughout the countryside. Johnny Burns tells me about his little place in Sturgeon Bay and so forth. Now, to me, the judgment here is going to depend on to what extent do we think taking action on this one of some sort defuses the Christmas tree bundle, possibility, if you call me. I mean, to what extent if we take action on this one, do we lessen the probability of your getting that kind of a package, and what are those odds, and I'm trying to assess it.
Shoes is a, in my opinion, shoes is a, it's the hottest one.
Right.
And it's hot because it's not like textiles, somewhat regional.
Right.
The shoes is national.
Absolutely.
It goes into every state, and it's all these little guys, and little guys, of course, while they are small, many times they're very active in politics. Kentucky's got a shooting factory here. They're all over the country, and those people, so it's a little business, it's $1 million, $2-3 million, and some of those guys are supporting the Congress from the Senate, and he knows it. But they come and they don't support anybody, they all play both sides.
Right.
And these guys know. So we're talking about, a very important segment of American small business that if we diffuse that to an extent, it would really be home free. I really think we don't have their freedom
on
the
whole Christmas tree.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, once again, David Kennedy comes into play. The scenario is going to occur to me on this one. I talked to the Italian ambassador yesterday. Is if David could make a little trip, or somebody like David is your special ambassador to Italy and Spain, speaking for you, we try to, instead of deciding in advance what the action is going to be, he kind of sits down with them and we talk about various ways of solving the problem. One possibility, Mr. President, that's kind of intriguing, is that we put a tariff or something of that sort after the growth exceeds a certain factor. See, one of the things that the Spaniards are just there's a state of panic over is that you put a quota on them back in 69,
roll it back,
and just kill them. So, again, you might want to be thinking, I'm not yet quite ready to make this recommendation, that David might be able to play a role here for you with the heads, with the very special concern for Italy and Spain and, you know, a few of the other countries. And that while we might decide to find injury and we might decide to take action, it might be that using him in some way would be helpful rather than just an action, you know, someday. Particularly since there's some record, some that you have said on occasions past in cars on the way to the airport and so forth, that you wouldn't do anything to hurt him.
Yeah.
And it might be that if you were to just announce an action without careful consultation.
Excellent idea. Let him see if he could take a trip over to Richdale, which I do, just in the state of consulting on him and saying, I look, this is the kind of action we've got to take in order to avoid something worse.
Right. Which would be a quota, but yeah, really,
we had a thing to do to play that was to frighten him with the big bear and say, look, the quota bear is breathing down our neck, it's going to come and we're trying to stop it. We're on your side, fellows, and here's what we're trying to do. We're going to have this terror commission, whatever it is. I don't know about these things.
Yeah.
But you, in other words, scare the hell out of the Congress and say, this is what we're trying to do, and hold their hands a little and go on.
Right.
Point out that we are their friend and the Congress is their enemy. They would be fine. However, again, you must talk to him. Is he back yet?
He'll be back.
Good. Yeah, no, absolutely. But when he gets back, talk to him about his. What he needs in the way of a stamp on that. He's a on that, well, he wouldn't need much.
He doesn't need much stuff.
Really, on that, anybody can go with him. He's probably got good men to go with him.
Incidentally, his name did not appear on the list of council members, but I was told that you probably wanted him on there.
Well,
that you did want David on the council.
Let me tell you the problem. I think Bill Rogers objected to it.
Okay.
Now, can't believe that the objection is one that's valid in terms of it may be valid from his standpoint, but he would be a valuable member of the council. I can put it this way, that George, of course, almost wrote his picks up and stirred everything up. You don't get a hell of a fight this week.
Well, and after press conference, I should tell you this. George said he would be a member of the council, so he has something.
George also?
Yes, he was asked about this. I think George is understanding what's going
on. Just political. He's just having a time. I mean, after all, he should be there, and he's a gentleman, and that's all there is to it.
All right.
That's your large. Particularly since he's going to be dealing with two of the big shows.
Right. Monetary problems, very quickly. I know you know about the financial crisis and so forth. I'd like to just express a 5-week opinion that I hope I have the right to change. One of the problems with the monetary situation, as the President seems to think, is that it's thought of as such a technical matter that us ordinary, you know, non-monetary fellows should kind of, it's like computers in business, you know, we should kind of leave it alone. And I'm more and more of the opinion that a hell of a lot of our problems have at their base some monetary principles that we've got to re-examine. Now, what I've done, however, is I've had two long meetings with John Conley and Arthur Burns and McCracken and Schultz, and they've agreed we really ought to take a look at what our strategy is there on balance of payments. Now, you know, there's a lot of theory of free trade and comparative advantage, you know, and all that sort of stuff, but that assumed that you would change, the exchange rates would change. Now, it seems to me that we're being hoisted on our own petard here, if I may say so, where the dollar has become the standard. We're doing a lot of things for these other countries in terms of aid and military, etc. We're getting our tail eaten out publicly as the guys that are irresponsible and, you know, don't know how to manage their business and all this sort of thing. And yet, whenever these other countries want to devalue, they can devalue. I mean, France devalues, Britain devalues. And yet we sit here in the position of being the world's bankers. Now, one thought that's occurring to me is a thrust of a policy that you might want to think about. Is I think until we can get the rest of the world to revalue more frequently so that it does get more flexible, we're going to continuously find ourselves in the kind of situation we're in now. And I've had a study made of the German situation. Remember, they revalued to I get two inputs on that. The first one is, it didn't have nearly the negative effects that all the so-called experts thought it was going to have. But interesting, I'm tracking the trade balance before and after, you know, with the United States. And while it's not just this factor, our exports to Germany have improved tremendously since they revalued, because it made it right. Now I'm convinced we got a very similar problem in Japan, in which the Japanese currency is much overvalued, and they, of course, don't want to revalue, but presents them with some problems. Now, what I'm proposing on monetary is that Conley and Burns and Kraken and George Shultz and I form a little group of listening to some of the new ideas about balance of payments. You probably know there are some people that think that our current strategy is not right. I do not agree or disagree, but there's a lot of opinions that say, and some very bright guys, saying, now look at our currency. But that if we come up with the idea, for example, that our strategy should be more flexibility than these exchange rates, perhaps we might want to think of putting this in the context of negotiations with some of these other countries. And the thing that's missing, Mr. President, in this foreign economic area, is our leaders aren't strong enough. You see, as long as we keep talking to people about economics, we very often don't have a strong enough leader to do much about it. But if we were having a discussion with Japan, for example, on Okinawa, on defense, on something, and I could show you that their revaluing could make a great difference on our trade, I think our chance of getting to do something are a hell of a lot higher than they are now. We got a problem out of Chile, you know, with our friend down there. Have you heard what they're trying to do to us now?
I know it. Good. What is it?
A retroactive tax thing that goes back, I don't know, 20, 30 years. It eats up one hell of a lot of the book value that they have, just apply retroactively. And then a 30-year, 3% loan to pay the companies for their value. Now picture the inflation in that country, and you tell me what a 3% interest loan is worth. And yet, Amori was over here yesterday, and we say, what levers have we got to apply against it? Well, frankly, we don't have one.
I looked at that. I've seen that. We're not much we can do.
So I would hope that part of our strategy is to decide what things are really important to us, and then look at aid and
military. That's a good point with Japan. I don't know what the hell we got with that much program.
Well, the Okinawa thing. Now, that thing now is pretty well down the track, though, I understand.
Please.
Finally, interpreter, we checked for legislative history and I'm very encouraged. The word significance is important, and several senators have moved inside of what is significant in some circumstances. Textiles, this was originally, you see, Mr. President, the cotton natural deal, but we're almost sure now we can count the man-made. So on both issues, I think we're in good shape. I don't know how much time you have. I got through every more items. On my work program, there's one thing I want to have, two things I want to emphasize to. I think we're going to be on the defensive with regard to shoes, electronics, you name it, until we come up with an adjustment program that really works.
Yeah.
I don't know whether other people have told you this or not, but I'll talk to you. What we now have is called burial assistance, it's called funeral assistance, and so forth. You know, our current adjustment assistance program. The third thing, it comes so late, and there's so little money involved, you know, that's available, that it really doesn't solve the problem. Now, I feel that until we can come up with a program that's got high credibility, so that when a shoe case came up in the future, we had really answered the problems of how to help them adjust, you know, to some other business, or modernize, or something. We're never going to have the right political answer to this, because the senator, the congressman, is always going to say to us, don't you tell me about your long-range policies. I'm worried about my, you know, my constituency. This includes antitrust, in my opinion, because as you and I discussed before, a lot of big companies could diversify, but they don't think they can. It includes putting these small companies together. Frankly, Mr. President, the two cases I've looked at, most of our problems are these little guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, under our antitrust laws, it's hard to put them together. Other countries do it on a moment's notice. It includes management systems. It includes what to do with the community. Johnny Burns looks me in the eye and says, well, now you can do about Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. I got 200 or 300 shoe workers up there. What the hell do you expect them to do? Go into the computer business or what? Well, we're going to have to figure out a way of helping that community find another industry, you know, or something. And I'm urging that we come up with a first-class program and price it out. And maybe, Mr. President, it costs us $1 billion. But if we don't have one that works, if it doesn't work, then we're going to be sitting here for the next 2 years reacting to one case after the other. So,
longer than that.
The rest of our situation may be a problem that this country's going to have.
Correct.
In every country. And the theoreticians around here, the economists, think this adjustment process is a lot easier than it is. They say to me, well, Pete, why don't they just do a little R&D and move into another business?
Oh, well, wait a minute.
If it were all that easy, what's happened to the aerospace people? Remember, they're going to go into medical and pollution. Ocean, it's a tough job shifting business. A lot of bright people and all their hopes dashed, and they don't know what the hell to do with themselves. Now, the other strategy I want to check with you before we present this to the
final
of this council meeting is the following. If there was a mistake made on the poverty program, I think it was lacking humility on how little was really known about the operational reality to get the job done. If you recall, I just plunged right into it. This adjustment process has been with us for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think a little humility might be in order. If we come up with a program, we do it on a test basis, you know, on 2 or 3 businesses, so that we know what we're talking about, rather than, you know, a huge fanfare, and then find out that, you know, the theory just didn't work out. And I'm tentatively thinking that we better find a way of trying this before we get too cocky about it. Because this is one of the it involves management. The question is, a lot of the managements are at the fault here. They don't have the vision, some of them, to know when to shift and when to change. And part of our strategy when we come up with a program is whether we should just, you know, do a poverty program thing, or whether we should take 2 or 3 industries and say for the next year or 2 we're going to try it, and that's something that can wait until we have the program. But I want a lot of humility about this. This is one of the world's you're saying to businessmen, change your way of life, change what business you're in, and it's one of the world's toughest.
Let me ask this, so would you, you just plan to open this up at the council meeting?
And I will put this on the agenda, and the work through, frankly, has got to include some business people.
God, yes.
The
economists don't want it.
The economists don't want anything. here is this will include, very briefly, I'll mention it to you. It's got to include agriculture, you know, because that's our thing, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
You should know, Mr. President, what these guys say to me. I've been dealing the hell out of the European guys coming over here. Are you aware of what they've done to us on citrus and tobacco and, you know, those preferences in Spain and Morocco and all this kind of thing? We've got that problem to deal with on the grounds of what do you want us to do? We should just have our own blocks, and then, you know, I mean, if you want to do this down there, maybe we ought to do it in Latin America and somewhere else, and maybe Japan does in Southeast Asia. And then, you see, we've got three competing blocks rather than the Allies agreeing on which countries should be the less developed countries. Another answer to me, I found most amusing. They said, well, and the Mediterranean was terribly important, and we decided to help. And I said, you know, that's a hell of a no, isn't it? Whose fleet is it down there in the Mediterranean? You know, I mean, who's taking the real pressure on the Mediterranean? The least you could have done was consult with us and let us decide jointly on what kind of preference we were going to give what countries. But that's a big issue in my opinion. Agriculture is another one. Non-tariff barriers, you know, there's a load of those we ought to look at. And the multinational corporation is emerging as a very key issue. I don't know if you follow this or not, but labor is now focused on the multinational corporation as a villain. And the idea is they're exporting jobs, and they're the number one villain. You see, they needed some rhetoric that got them off of free trade back to what they wanted. And they needed a villain, and the villain is a multinational company. And we're going to have to figure out, I think, what our policy should be about multinational corporations. So that's another one of the initiatives that I can put into plan. So that's the international arena. Frankly, in a way, I'm kind of glad we're still on the hill, because we're going to need to, 6 months to get our ducks in a row anyway. So
are you, you're going to occur sooner than you can, in this case, to get the outside people to help you?
Well, that's
the very, I mean, you're outside businessman. Don't do it unless it's terrible. You bring a business guy down, he's got expensive wheels, deal with him is useless. Anybody, any bright person you can find, feel free to do that and put a goal, you know, learn the whole. And actually, there's some good people in government, but I think that some of the things you're talking about here are beyond the canon of the average government. Certainly, so tied down with all the problems that they the member of the council, and you have the kind of an increment as a
Take it very close to contact. We keep very close to contact. He's very important in this whole deal. The other thing is that in terms of this whole balance of payments thing, there's this enormous sensitivity of our regard to the MCE. She run it all. Our in charge of competitors, as you know, and at times opponents. We're not through it all the charges.
Yeah.
But anyway, there it is. Now, consequently, you be if you can, I'd like for you to be just to be a very good political maneuver here. Talk to all of them. You should go over it. I hope you will go to see Arthur and listen to him talk for an hour about these stories.
You've done 2 hours with Arthur this week. Comedy, your character, and shows. And I thought we
you done
a little.
Yeah. But if you would, as a matter of fact, you might at some point when we have balance of payments, we discuss that only in the quadria at the present time. Miller Schultz suggested that all of these are in this area. That's very hard and very sensitive about that as to whether it ought to be done in this area. I think it should be. Connolly, get his, enlist him on that side. Enlist Arthur. You know.
One other small action organization. I don't get a chance to read it. State persists in this view that they want to approve all work projects and they want to run them through the operations committee. Frankly, some of the kinds of things I'm trying to do here, Mr. President, I'd hate to just turn over adjustment assistance to some operations committee. I'd like to be able to pick some outstanding experts to do it. And do I have your general support that
is just stated up to you know, what is right.
Because we got real problems with Conley on this. John Conley, I talked to him yesterday for an hour.
No, sir.
He said, look.
No, sir.
You're going to have real trouble with me.
No, sir. You're going to have to keep smoking nice. No, hell, you don't need to
do that at night.
But also keep very close to him. Keep very close to him on it, too, if you have any problems.
President, how are you?
That's very good.
Pete Peterson, our...
Oh, Pete, how are you?
My name is Ryan Scott. Across from each other at a board meeting.
Right. Pete and I have just been deciding the economic fate of Spain, Italy, Japan. Who else we put down here?
Thank you.
Yes, he is.
You ought to pick your own meeting. We thought that, you know, we have a problem with George, and this is the way to solve that.
He's gonna go in and cut out a lot of the dead wood he's been building.
Oh, yes, sir, I'm getting all out of the way. The other thing is that, how about your relations with Ford, though? Let me say, have you talked a little about some of these?
Yes, sir, I understand.
You've got a little bit on the board, and you see, we got Henry Ford. What really happened here is, and with the very best of intentions, but George Romney got into it, and Henry and Max Fisher was in a longtime friendship, Garner was ruined as a result, and then Henry Ford came in and tried to raise some money, and Pierce was wrong here, and all sort of thing. And Bud Wilkinson was in it with, but he didn't have the organizational ability, and as a result, the damn thing just been moving along with no progress. Now, we're sending down, coincidentally, a new message on the government side for putting all the volunteer agencies in one agency. I mean, this is a Peace Corps, Teachers Corps, now that's on the government side. So, at this time, to get a jumping off place and to particularly get it organized, lifting, play very high, if you will, and I do it. What do you think, Mrs. Romney, Mrs. Nixon, all the rest of us, they all work in these programs, and they're enormously important to them. And actually play to George.
Mm-hmm.
We
had a good session with Ian Blatchford that sort of spelled out the differences.
You know,
he knows what the
Blatchford's in. Yeah, I know the Blatchford's in government. You're not. Something worthwhile that isn't just a Mickey Mouse thing, it's gonna fall in his face. So if whatever you can find, wherever she must have a tea or something every day for somebody, and it's great stuff, you know, what has really been lacking is organization and follow through, you know. I'll have her tonight that I think those things are